From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Graham. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Catskill Planning Board January 8th heard a proposal for a new solar project. Peter McAuliffe of Omni Navitas, a Boston-based solar energy development company, and Christopher Knox of Crawford & Associates Engineering and Land Surveying presented site plans for a 1.6 megawatt AC solar project to be located on Corriskill Road. Knox said the 112-acre property is owned by Alfred and Nancy Beers, and the solar panels would occupy six of those acres. When asked what the developers plan to do with the energy they harvest, McAuliffe said, and I quote, "It would be fed back into the grid. It will be indirectly sold to Central Hudson customers by another company," end quote. Planning Board Chairman Joseph Izzo advised the pair that because the property borders on an area protected by the Green Land Trust, the developers will likely have to take additional measures to minimize the project's visual impact. Izzo also said the company has to discuss their plans for fire protection with the Leeds Fire Department, and the application must also include a decommission plan. The developers will continue to make revisions to the site plan before it is presented to the board again, McAuliffe said. Once approved, construction is expected to take 3 months. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Brian Nearing is reporting for the Times Union. The Troy Record will close its small rented office on River Street next month. Once the location is closed, staffers will work digitally without a central location, management said. However, the newspaper, which has been publishing in the city for 232 years, will continue to publish its printed edition and post to its website. Ron Rosner, senior editor of the Troy Record and the Saratogian, wrote in a column on January 12th, and I quote, "Our commitment to the Record's readers is strong. We have served Troy and the region for more than a century, and we take our role as an institution in the area quite seriously. With this initiative, we will keep that tradition alive and stronger than ever," end quote. Rosner wrote that the Record office would close by late February so staffers could be, and I quote, "positioned in or around the capital region," end quote. City editor Nicholas Bonanno declined comment, referring questions to Rosner, who declined to say anything beyond his written statement. The newspaper's owner, Digital First Media, has been steadily selling off the paper's assets, including its former home, for $2.65 million. Since Digital First took ownership of the former Journal Register newspaper chain, staff at Digital Newspapers has been cut by more than 50%, more than double the industry average, according to a study by the News Guild, a national union representing newspaper workers. Read the full story in the Times Union. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting New York lawmakers wasted no time in approving some major voting reforms January 14th. During their first session day, the members of the Assembly and Senate gave their okay to early voting 10 days prior to primary day and general election day. The measure provides each county with at least one early voting site for every 50,000 registered voters. Legislators also consolidated primary day. The federal primary has been held in June with the state primary in September, but both will now be held on the fourth Tuesday in June. The first step in enacting same-day registration and no-reason absentee ballots were also approved. Both of those reforms require constitutional amendments and must be approved by two consecutive state legislatures, followed by a public referendum. Jesse McKinley and Vivian Wang are reporting for the New York Times. The full roster of reforms, which also includes pre-registration of minors, voting by mail, and closing the so-called LLC loophole, now brings the state into line with policies already in place in other liberal states like California and Washington. Susan Lerner, the executive director of Common Cause New York, a good government group, said, and I quote, "We are finally beginning to see New York's election begin, just begin to catch up with the rest of the country," end quote. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew Cuomo's executive budget will include a ban on so-called stretched or remanufactured limousines in New York. The governor is also expected to introduce measures that would expand regulation of the limousine industry in response to the fatal October crash in Schoharie County that killed 20 people. The changes would seek to close gaps in the safety and oversight of limousine passenger vehicles by the State Department of Transportation and the Department of Motor Vehicles. These changes, a part of Cuomo's executive budget, are scheduled to be unveiled January 15th. Cuomo said in a statement, and I quote, "This crash was a horrific tragedy that shocked the state to its very core. We are advancing reforms that will give aggressive new powers that will allow authorities to take dangerous vehicles off the roads without delay, hold unscrupulous businesses accountable, and increase public safety in every corner of New York," end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.